Welcome into this week's edition of Buckeye Breakdown, presented by Werther Cutlery in Dover. Check out their wooden cutting and serving boards personalized with Ohio State, local high school teams, and other designs for a unique gift and home decor item. That's Werther Cutlery in Dover. I am Joe Geckler, and it's my pleasure to welcome in Jeremy Birmingham from LettermanRow.com. And Berm, we have finally made it to week one, and it's time to play some football with all the distractions this offseason. The Zach Smith firing, Urban's investigation, then suspension. The last month has really been a blur around the Ohio State football program. How ready do you think the team is just to play some football tomorrow?
Well, there's no doubt that they are ready 100% to put this month of madness behind them and just go out and hit somebody. I've talked to a number of players this week. You know, there are nerves, of course. People want to go out and make a good first impression. But I also think that there's a bit of weight on the shoulders of these kids and the coaches that realize that the state of Ohio kind of needs them to go out and lay one on the Beavers tomorrow. And, for the Buckeyes, I think it's setting up to be a pretty special season if they're able to get through the noise. And talent-wise, they're one of the top two or three teams in the country. And now it's just about getting out there and putting all this stuff behind them and getting back to football.
Berm, Ryan Day is the acting head coach and has been since camp really started in early August. What realistic expectations should Buckeye fans have for him during this three-game stretch?
I think, we talked about it a little bit last week, and the reality is if you had seen Ohio State in practice in the last month, you wouldn't know Urban Meyer was gone based on the way that the players handled themselves, the way that the coaches handled their business. And with that, I actually think that you should expect things to go pretty much the same during the games. I know that there's going to be some moments, obviously, where Coach Day and his inexperience is going to shine through, and you're going to see some opportunities for him to grow as a head coach down the road. But at the end of the day, he has really good veteran coaches that he works with daily and who are going to guide him through those difficult moments. I think that You may see an offense that has a little bit more of an attack mentality, get down the field, because in the past few years when you did have coordinators that really wanted to push the envelope offensively, there have been times when the pushback has come from Urban Meyer, and I think without having that sort of veto power on the sideline, we might see the Buckeyes take some more shots with the football, especially Dave calling the plays in tandem with Dwayne Haskins, the quarterback. So I think that there's an opportunity for the offense to show some explosive play ability, but I don't think there's going to really be much different in the way that they handle or approach the game.
When camp started a few weeks ago, there were several position battles taking place, offensive line, linebacker, safety. Earlier this week, Ryan Day announced the starters for these positions. Berm, are you surprised of any of the players that were named starters on the offensive line, linebacker, or at safety?
No, I think the biggest one, obviously, for most people is the offensive line, and Michael Jordan being announced as the starting center after 2 years at guard. Obviously, Ohio State has sort of taken that approach in the last two seasons, moving Pat Elflein and Billy Price from guard to center, and it worked out well. They want to get their five best offensive linemen on the field, and they're able to do that when you have Jordan at center and you have Malcolm Pritchard and Demetrius Knox both starting at guard. I think other than that, the only real interesting things to me are going to be the linebacker situation. Baron Browning is a former five-star linebacker, number one rated linebacker in the country coming out of high school, but he's not really been healthy and hasn't proven himself yet at Ohio State as sort of the man in the middle, and he's going to get an opportunity on Saturday to do that. And that's interesting to me only because I know when Tuff Borland is back and 100%, and he could play tomorrow, but I don't think he should have to. It's going to be interesting to me to see how they decide what to do with Baron Browning moving forward if they look at him as a guy that could potentially move outside like they did with Chris Worley a year ago when Tuff decided that he was taking over the middle. So that's really the only real interesting thing to me. I know that there's a lot of ors on the depth chart, especially at safety where it says it's Jocelyn Wint or Jordan Fuller, but that's Jordan Fuller, I'm sorry, or Isaiah Pryor. And that's Isaiah Pryor's job, in my opinion. I don't think there's going to be much more there.
Berm, are you surprised, though, with Dante Booker still being on the roster, that his name's kind of been lost in the shuffle? Has he done something to lose his way at Ohio State?
No, Dante had a shoulder surgery a short while ago, so he's working back to health from that. He's a guy that is, again, as a Northeast Ohio guy, everyone really wanted him to come in into the program and be a game changer, but he struggled with his health over the years and never really found a way to make an impact. I look back at some of the guys that have gone through the program in the last handful of years, and you know, maybe you'll see him make a Steve Miller type impression in his senior year the way that Steve Miller did in the 2014 season for the Buckeyes. But I know Dante, and I know that any opportunity he gets to play, he's going to go out there and try to make something happen. And you know, the Buckeyes' depth at linebacker is really good and really talented, so it's going to be difficult for him to get on the field if he's not healthy. But when he is, it's about making plays when he's out there.
You're listening to the Big Z Sports Show presented by DAC Vitamins and Minerals on Z Country 99.9. Joe Geckler here, and I'm talking with Jeremy Birmingham from LettermanRow.com on Buckeye Breakdown presented by Werther Cutlery in Dover and Berm. The JT Barrett era is over at Ohio State, and tomorrow starts the Dwayne Haskins era. What can Buckeye Nation expect to see from Haskins in this offense going forward?
Well, I think the big thing is that people should expect to see an offense that tries to get vertical far more than it did in the last handful of years with J.T. Barrett. And that's not a knock on Barrett, but obviously anybody who's watched Ohio State since 2014 saw how the defense changed. I'm sorry, how the offense changed when Cardale Jones was forced to take over in the 2014 playoff run. And I think if the Buckeyes have the deep wide receiver threat that they think they do, whether it's Johnny Dixon or Terry McLaurin or Paris Campbell or Paris or Ben Victor or Austin Mack, whoever it is, if they can find a guy to get the balls down the field to, you're going to see the offense try to really change what they're doing and eliminate the ability for defenses to stack the box against the run, which they've done in the last few years against J.T. Barrett. And if they can do that, then all of a sudden you see the potential for a Buckeye offense with 2,000-yard running backs and eight different wide receivers who are capable of playing. You see an opportunity for something really explosive for the Buckeyes.
Berm, obviously going into every season, a team looks at their team or even, you know, analysts look at teams and say, hey, this is a weak link for this team this season. Every team has that. What is the weak link on offense and defense this year at a certain position for the Buckeyes?
I don't know that they really have what I would call a weak link. I think there's some question marks still at tight end. Luke Farrell is going to be the starter, and he had a really good spring and offseason. But I think they would really like to see Jeremy Rucker, the five-star freshman tight end, step in and make some plays early. There's been a lack of development to this point from Jake Houseman. Rashad Berry, who's played well in spurts, but they don't know exactly how consistent he can be at that position. That's one area that they'd like to get a little bit more consistency from. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I think the question is, it's not talent, it's about the experience. And once Tuff Moreland gets back, whenever that happens and he's inserted back in the starting lineup, you'll see a lot of flexibility and a lot of ability to rotate guys at that position. So to me, it's not a weakness necessarily, but it is still a question based on the fact that we're all expecting a lot of talented kids to do big things, and sometimes potential obviously doesn't pan out like you think.
Berm, you mentioned a couple freshmen earlier in our conversation today, and you know, if there was a freshman or a redshirt freshman on this roster that can make the biggest impact during the season, who would that be?
Well, I think it's going to be one of the defensive linemen. I don't know if it's Tommy Togiai, the defensive tackle from Idaho, or if it's Teron Vincent, the defensive tackle from Florida, or if it's Tyreek Smith, the defensive end from Cleveland, or Tyler Friday from New Jersey at defensive end. All those guys are going to play, and I think especially at defensive end, even though you have two of the more imposing and maybe two of the best defensive ends in the country in Chase Young and Nick Bosa, and then you have Jonathan Cooper in there as well, who's a former five-star talent, I think one of those two defensive ends, Tyreek Smith or Tyler Friday, is going to get a lot of time this season, because really after those top three, there's not anybody who stepped up and said, yes, I'm in the rotation here. So to me, it's probably Tyreek Smith or Tyler Friday. I think Tyreek Smith is the more likely one in my mind. I see him physically being really ready to go, and I'm excited to see what he does when he gets on the field.
You are listening to the Big Z Sports Show on Z Country 99.9. Joe Geckler here with Jeremy Birmingham, and we're in the middle of Buckeye Breakdown, brought to you by Werther Cutlery in Dover. Berm, let's move on to recruiting, since you're the director of recruiting for LettermanRow.com. Let's talk about that for a few minutes. Last Friday, after we talked, Buckeyes suffered a decommitment from four-star linebacker Kane Patterson. Are they still in the running for him? And if not, who are some of the names out there at linebacker Ohio State are now looking at?
Well, I don't think they are going to be back in it. I mean, I know that there's an opportunity with occasionally with decommitments for things to turn back around. In this case, I don't think that's going to happen. There were people in Patterson's camp who really wanted him to stay closer to home. Even when he made his commitment, they weren't entirely on board. He recently picked up an offer from Clemson, and I think that those two things and the combination of that with the Urban Meyer situation, who he was very close with, has put him in a position where they're just going to walk away. And you know, I don't know that even Ohio State's going to try to replace him at linebacker. I think adding him was sort of a bonus to the class. They do obviously have a lot of very young, talented linebackers, so they're not in a position where they're desperate to take a third in this class. They do have Cade Stover from Lexington, Ohio, and Craig Young, a linebacker from Fort Wayne, Indiana, already committed. So I think they may stand pat unless one of the top kids around the country decides that they're interested. But at linebacker, I think they'll stick with two.
Obviously, with game one of the season coming up tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon, we all know that official visits start to happen. And with being game one, how is the visitor list looking for game one? Is there any big names on that list we should be looking out for?
Well, there's no official visitors for the Oregon State game. The Buckeyes are going to try to hold those, probably most of them, until the Nebraska game at the beginning of November or the Michigan game at the end of November. But there are a handful of key visitors, including 2019 commitments. Duan Mathis, the quarterback from Oak Park, Michigan, and Doug Nestor, the offensive lineman from Huntington, West Virginia. There are a couple big 2020 prospects visiting, three of them which have offers. Diamante Tranum from Akron, and then two Michigan wide receivers, Devel Washington from Bay City and Rashawn Williams from Detroit, are both going to be in the house. And both those two, I think, are kind of on that cusp of maybe wanting to commit. Whether or not they're going to be able to this weekend, I'm not sure, because I think the Buckeyes would prefer to hold off any commitments from happening until Urban Meyer returns on Monday, and that he gets an opportunity to sit and talk to these kids and their parents. So I don't think there's going to be any commitments happening or that are imminent, but those three guys, all of them, Tranum and Washington and Williams, are all definitely in the mix for a commit in the next few weeks.
Awesome, Berm. I appreciate you, man, taking time to join me here on Buckeye Breakdown. I'll see you tomorrow in Columbus and look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thanks, Joe. Have a good night.
That's Jeremy Birmingham from LettermanRow.com joining us here on Buckeye Breakdown, presented by Werther Cutlery in Dover. Let's check on that scoreboard. Take it away, Eric McElroy.